Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A message of unity and optimism underscoring President Biden's speech before the UN General Assembly today. He talked about conflicts in the Middle East, Africa, and Ukraine.
We cannot grow weary. We cannot look away. And we will not let up on our support for Ukraine. Not until Ukraine wins a just and durable peace in the UN Charter.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky also in New York. He will address the UN Security Council later this afternoon. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis keeping an eye on what's now Tropical Storm Helene. Helene's 61 counties are now under a state of emergency in Florida as the storm takes aim at the state's northern Gulf Coast. It's expected to become a strong hurricane. Now Tropical Storm John struck Mexico last night as a Category 3 hurricane. The storm's slow pace and heavy rains could potentially cause catastrophic flash flooding in the U.S. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New numbers show the job market has rebounded in Wisconsin since the pandemic, but it's not equal across the state. The nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum found while overall Wisconsin has more jobs now than it did in 2019, that doesn't mean every county is advancing in that category. 42 of Wisconsin's 72 counties have fewer jobs than they did before the pandemic. That means the state's strongest economic areas, like Dane and Milwaukee County, are carrying a lot of those jobs. And COVID-19 is on the rise here in Wisconsin. It's been spreading more and more since the end of June, according to the state's wastewater data monitoring program. But soon you'll be able to order more tests for free. The federal government is reviving its free tests by mail program. You'll be able to go to covidtest.gov and order 4 nasal swab test kits. All we know is that the program is set to go live in late September. Officials haven't given a specific date yet. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Former president and current Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump will make a stop in southwestern Wisconsin on Saturday. Trump's campaign rally will be at the Prairie du Chien Area Arts Center. Trump will speak around 11:30 a.m. Saturday. It's Trump's second visit to the area in a month. On August 29th, Trump spoke at a full crowd inside the La Crosse Center. Prairie du Chien is the home city of Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden. Tickets for the campaign stop are available on Trump's campaign website. The Wisconsin Counties Association Conference continues today, which brings almost 1,000 officials from around the state to La Crosse. The annual event features speakers and workshops that address current events and issues facing county governments. Today, U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde will speak to attendees, with Senator Tammy Baldwin providing remarks as well. All told, county officials from all of Wisconsin's 72 counties are expected to attend the event, which began yesterday. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it's been a team effort to win each of the last two games.
I think that can galvanize our team, and we needed everybody. Everybody's, you know, I don't want to say, because I'm a firm believer that you don't rise to the level of competition, you sink to the level of your preparation, and these guys prepare the right way, they come to work the right way, each and every day with a great attitude. We go out and we have some tough practices.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have 6 games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for 3 games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next 2 Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and seasonal today with high temperatures nearing 70 degrees. Another clear and crisp night on tap. And with patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning, it'll still be sunny and a warmer day with highs in the mid-70s. And we climb even warmer to close the rest of the week out. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, a Western Wisconsin school district referendum includes a novel approach to helping their hometown create more childcare opportunities.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our next guest, it is that time to go for the green or gold, our statewide text to win contest. Grab your phone, go to your Civic Media app right now, and text the word radio, R-A-D-I-O. Text the word radio on the Civic Media app, and you are in the running this hour for either $100 in cash, possibly gold jewelry. Everyone in the running for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. So you have until noon to text the word radio, R-A-D-I-O, via the Civic Media app. For the chance at all those prizes, we play this contest every day. We're wrapping up on Friday. We play every day, though, at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. The word this hour is radio, R-A-D-I-O. Good luck. Very excited to have our next guest joining us again. She's with Democrats Abroad. Kristen Wolf is here. Good morning, Kristen. Thank you so very much for joining us. How are you?
Well, I'm great. And thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back.
Wonderful to see you. So much to talk about. There have been some breaking news items that we really wanted to talk to you about, including what happened last Friday in Montana. Kristen, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this story. This is from the Daily Interlake in Montana by Heidi Desch. When Max Himsel opened his electronic ballot on Friday, he was dismayed to see Kamala Harris was missing from his list of options. He's voting absentee electronically while living abroad. Under his options to vote for president, only Donald Trump and Bob Kennedy Jr. were listed. Missing was Democrat Kamala Harris. Election officials were notified of that error shortly after. And then shortly after it went live last Friday, they did shut it down and apparently rectified the problems, but that's really concerning. It seems like a massive, glaring oversight.
I think there needs to be some investigation as to what actually happened, because they're blaming it on a consultant. That's not good enough. This is a ballot that has to go out under federal law by the 21st of September. They knew it was coming. Somebody just had to look and see what was on that ballot. So it's just shocking. I'm glad that they fixed it, but they've got some explaining to do.
Yeah, that seems like an awfully big oopsie.
I'd say. I mean, just look.
there's three candidates. Let's just put two. It's fine. No one will notice that.
Meanwhile, Bob Kennedy's like, just take my name off. Just take my name off.
Am I off or am I on? I'm not sure. I'm confused.
Well, the good news is that we've got a really tight network out here around the world, and it kicked off in our group chat that this had happened. So people were aware of it, and they are on alert that if it happens anywhere else, they're ready to look out for it. So we're ready.
Kristen, how many people do vote who live abroad? Do we have an approximate number?
Well, we know that there are somewhere between 7 and 9 million of us out here, and the percentage of the people who vote in every election is a little bit uncertain. We don't actually have concrete figures because we don't get counted in the same way as other voters. But that said, we think that the number is somewhere upwards of around 2 million of us. And in certain states like Wisconsin, we know that there are 25,000 of us, and that alone is represented about 3/4 of the vote that Joe Biden won in 2020. So you know what? We are out here and our vote matters. And that's why we're here trying to get the word out for people to register as an overseas voter, not as a normal absentee ballot voter.
So I'm assuming this is a much different process to register for this.
That's right. It is. The process is you go out, you can go through our nonpartisan votefromabroad.org website, and then you register for your ballot via that website, but you have to check that you are an overseas or military voter. And that gives you certain protections under a federal law called the Uniformed Overseas Civilian Absentee Voting Act, or UOCAVA for short. And when you do that, you are guaranteed that your ballot, first off, had to come out by the 21st of September. And we know that there was at least one other state that sent their ballot out late. So again, that's also a question mark as to why that happened. But nonetheless, we get our ballots. You can request your ballot by email, and then you are then governed by state law as to how you have to get that ballot back. But that's why we're given more time as overseas voters, because the process to get the ballots back can take longer.
If you're just joining us, Kristen Wolf is our guest. She's the chair of Democrats Abroad based in the UK. So glad to have you back, Kristen. It's been a few months. Another thing I wanted to make sure that you were aware of, the former president has opinions on this. On his platform, Truth Social, here's what he said, quote, "The Democrats are talking about how they're working so hard to get millions of votes from Americans living overseas. Actually, they're getting ready to cheat. They are going to use UOCAVA, which you just mentioned, Uniformed and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act, to get ballots, a program that emails ballots overseas without any citizenship check or verification of identity whatsoever, foreign interference, question mark. They want to dilute the true vote of our beautiful military and their families. Republicans must act to stop them from stealing our military votes. Remember, all caps, if you vote illegally, you're going to jail," unquote. How many, really, you can, there's no verification, there's no registration, just anybody overseas can do this and vote in our presidential election.
It's utterly absurd what he put out there, other than we are working hard to get the vote, because that we are doing.
That's accurate.
But you know, that's the only part of it, but then it gets all confused thereafter. So, you know, it, and actually, frankly, it shows just yet another profound lack of understanding by the former president of how our voting system works. But let me start with the basics, which is as an overseas voter, you have to provide your either the last four digits of your social security number when you register to vote, or your passport number, a partial number that then is checked by your local election official back in the state where you're voting. So we have to register every single election cycle to show that we are still an overseas voter, and every single time they check it out. And in fact, I can say that even my own son, shocking as it is that as the chair of Democrats Abroad UK, my own son made an error in registering and his got kicked back. So the system works, and we should all have confidence in that system. But, you know, I think the other thing, too, and by the way, I will say that votefromabroad.org, it's nonpartisan, and, you know, anybody can go out there. And I think what Donald Trump doesn't quite get is that there are Republicans out here living around the world, too, and they do vote. The guy just doesn't quite grasp that, you know, he's got to put forward a platform and, you know, be a nominee that people actually want to vote for. And I think that that's a different problem. But the really important thing, too, here is a lot of people, you know, and he raised it in the tweet, is, you know, they're asking, why should you be able to vote? You don't live here anymore. And I want to just answer that question if I can, because we can vote. You know, we pay our taxes just like everybody else. And Uncle Sam follows us over here, and we have to pay those taxes. And, you know, I'm sitting here right now in merry old England, and we all know what happened the last time there was taxation without representation. So this is a really important point. But the other thing, too, is, you know, again, I referenced my son earlier. I actually have two sons. My sons, when they turned 18, had to register with the Selective Service, even though they have not lived in the United States since they were 4 and 7. And, you know, they are fulfilling their obligations as a citizen of the United States in every capacity. They actually also do pay their taxes as well. And, you know, at any moment, they can be called upon to serve and represent our country in the military overseas. And yet we have people out there who think that they should not have the constitutional right to be able to vote for the candidates who are out there making the decisions about their future. So I just wanted to clear that up as best as I can, because, you know, our citizenship obligations don't leave us, nor does the government's obligation to us as citizens.
You know, Chris, well, first of all, Kristen, welcome back. We're very happy to have you on the show again. And I want to say that your organization is listening to our show, because I was doing a show, Jane, while you were on vacation, and someone you work with said, tell them about Democrats abroad. Tell them about them being able to register to vote when they're living overseas. And I'm like, I will do that. But I think this goes to a bigger point. Like, you know, we can have disagreements on healthcare access. We can have disagreements on guns. We shouldn't have disagreements on voting and voting access. And something you said, and Jane, you said as well, he has supporters overseas. And I don't know if what he is saying is going to discourage them from voting. And I don't know how they feel about being told, oh, if I'm voting overseas, I'm cheating. So it doesn't help to discourage the whole process. And also, what he's doing over what he's saying about voting overseas, he's doing the same thing here. He's saying early voting is theft. Drop boxes are theft. He's saying everything that isn't on the day, ballot, pencil in hand, drop it to the box, get your little sticker, is theft. Because we also know, as you were saying, Kristen, and Matt from Germantown has told us, this is a highly regulated process.
Yes.
There is room for error. It happens. You can't say it never happens, and you can't say fraud never happens, but it happens to such a small degree that to say that it's all theft is ridiculous.
And can I even just add to that, as our overseas ballots, I mean, I have mine from Wisconsin. Again, we are governed by the states that we last resided in. And I will say that our ballots, going back to Wisconsin, as an example, we have to have a witness actually sign a certificate saying that we are who we say we are. And that witness has to include their address. So if there is ever a desire to verify whether or not it was the actual voter, all of that information has to be recorded. But I also just wanted to just add as well, you know, Donald Trump, he seems to forget that it was Ronald Reagan who was the one who put this law into place and signed it. So, you know, I mean, he not only does he not know voting rights, he doesn't know history either.
That's a really long list of things he does not know.
There's a new segment.
Oh, boy. Kristen Wolf is our guest from Democrats Abroad. We're going to continue the conversation. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police? Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the Liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the Liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show, call, text, leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Come for the conversation, stay for the chair dancing. Very excited to have our guest with us from the UK. Kristen Wolf is the chair of Democrats Abroad UK, and we're talking about if you are an American citizen living overseas, you have the right to vote in the elections. You don't just have to be a member of the military. Kristen, before we went to break, I did read a portion of something that Donald Trump posted on his Truth Social, essentially saying that, yeah, people can request to get a ballot and then they just mail it to people overseas. No citizenship check, no verification of ID whatsoever. That's a lie. There are numerous checks and balances involved in this, correct?
That is absolutely correct. You cannot just fill out an application and get your ballot. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to register with our local election official in the state that we last resided in, and then they do checks on our Social Security numbers and or on our passport. We have to provide one or the other. And again, if there's any defect in the registration process, it gets rejected, as I know firsthand from my own family's experience.
On following up that question, Kristen, so anyone who might be listening overseas or going overseas or advising, what is the process from start to finish? Are you looking at a few weeks, a couple months? Do you want to make sure you carve out enough time to do this so you're not left without being able to cast your vote?
In a normal
version of this.
Right. Well, let me start by saying that you must go out and request your overseas ballot. You can do that from votefromabroad.org, and you fill in the form. It's just very intuitive. It'll walk you right through the process, and it breaks it down for people from every single state in the country. So, and it will take it right on down to your local election official in whatever local election district you vote in. So there's all the information you need, but you need to make sure that you request that you are an overseas or civilian, military or overseas civilian voter. Then you need to request that email or that ballot, by email. And when you do that, the local election official will check out all the information, and then they will send you your election ballot. The federal election ballots have already come out. So they were supposed to be out on the 21st of September, but that doesn't mean it's too late to register. It is not. And so you want to make sure that you do it as soon as possible, because the tricky bit comes when you try to return the ballot. So you have to fill out the ballot. Mm-hmm. You have to follow all the instructions and get it back in time, and you have to follow the rules of your state. Some states allow you to email it back other states require you to print it out and mail it back.
And I think it's important, again, to remind folks, there are numbers on these ballots. They don't just print out a whole bunch of ballots and send them out willy-nilly with no way of tracking where they're going and who they're going to. That's not how it works.
That's right. And in fact, every single ballot has to be initialed by the local election official. They know who they're sending these ballots out to, and then they wait for them to come back. And in fact, I have spoken with my own local election official in Franklin, Wisconsin, on multiple occasions, trying to sort through some of the questions that I had in this process. So they are on top of it. They know what needs to be done. They are extremely helpful. And can I just make a pitch for anyone who has a student living abroad, doing a study abroad program, which we get a lot of students coming over. And, you know, oftentimes mom and dad think, oh, I'll just get the ballot, I'll mail it to them wherever they're living, somewhere around the world, and then hope that it gets to the kid in time, and then the kid gets it back in time. Please don't do that. Please use the overseas ballot process, because they'll get it by email, and the instructions are really clear on what they need to do next.
We're going to put the link in our show notes after the show is over. It's votefromabroad.org. And as you said, Kristen, this is a nonpartisan voter registration portal. So please take advantage of it. And as you said, too, I think that's a really good point. Mom and dad, if your child is currently going to school overseas or traveling overseas or whatever, send them to that website, votefromabroad.org, to make sure and do it soon.
Yes.
Because what, we're 42 days away now from the election. So it's going to come up really quick.
Yeah.
And can I just say, can I just say, though, that there is still one opportunity if somebody gets here and discovers that they still can't do it. There is the federal law. Also, if you register as a federal vote or overseas absentee ballot voter, the federal law also allows you to have a federal write-in ballot if your ballot never arrives.
Oh.
So there are extra protections in doing this. So it's really important. But can I also just throw in one other thing? You talked in the last segment about some of the things that have been happening with overseas ballot voting and some of the challenges that we've got. But, you know, what we're also seeing all around the country, including in Wisconsin, is referenda on the eligibility for people to vote. And there is, you know, this subtle change, certainly in the Wisconsin Constitution,
yes,
that is being proposed right now, that says that you only can reside in a particular district if you are going to vote in a national election. That is a complete violation of the UOCAVA law. And, you know, we're looking into what we can do to challenge that. But it would make it so much easier if anyone listening to this or in any other state that has a similar referendum on the ballot, please vote no, because they are trying to stop the overseas vote. And that is, it's in violation of the law, and it's just un-American, frankly.
And their supporters live there too again. I just can't get over this.
And, you know, we were with a bunch of Republicans last night. I mean, and you know, I have to say that when you're out of the United States, believe it or not, we can engage in civil discourse when it comes to politics. So we had members last night going out with a member of Republicans overseas over a pint. And that's how it's a good way to resolve differences. And believe it or not, people, it is still possible to do it. We just have to get back to that with, you know, the right candidates in office who are going to unite us as a country rather than divide us.
We can agree to disagree and actually get things done for this country and for our neighbors. Kristen Wolf is the chair of Democrats Abroad in the UK. Thank you so much for joining us, Kristen. Go to votefromabroad.org. We'll get that in the show notes. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you. It's been great talking with you.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. While political parties vie for the votes of young people, not as many of them are engaged in the process. Only about half the number of young people in Wisconsin say they're paying attention to politics as compared to other age groups. Matthew Lehner, chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin, says that's because young people have a lot on their plate already.
You know, young people are facing climate change and are wondering whether they're going to be able to have kids one day. Young people today are part of the school shooting generation. Young people are worried about, you know, how they're going to pay for things given the corporate-driven inflation and the wage stagnation that exists.
Hilario De Leon, chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party.
Gas prices are still high, grocery prices are up, rent is high, so it's hard for them to go and live on their own. Energy costs are through the roof.
Tufts did a study, and it showed of young people in any state, the ones in Wisconsin have the second most power in the election. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Former UW lacrosse chancellor Joe Gall made his case to keep his tenured faculty position at a UW system committee hearing last week. On Friday, the UW Board of Regents will make the final decision. Gall was fired as chancellor in December after UW officials learned he was producing and appearing in online pornography. Earlier this year, a UW lacrosse panel recommended removing Gall from his faculty position. The Board of Regents will meet Friday morning at 8 a.m. and consider the recommendations of both panels. Nearly a quarter of school districts in Wisconsin are seeking yes answers to referendum questions this fall, and that includes the West Salem School District, which is asking two questions. One is a $3.5 million operational referendum. The other is a $28 million facilities referendum, which would, among other things, add space for career and tech ed programming. The district is holding info sessions at its district office Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., and Thursday, noon to 1 p.m. Another session will be held next Wednesday.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Just because you've been part of a hit show for 10 years doesn't mean your spinoff is a slam dunk. Just ask Eric Stone Street, who played Cam on Modern Family. A one-off called Mitch and Cam, which would have featured Stone Street and co-star Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who was Cam's partner Mitchell Pritchard on Modern Family, was in development but ended up not getting the green light. What was his reaction when he heard the network passed? He said his feelings were hurt. Actors are people, too. Actress Demi Moore says she biked 60 miles a day after becoming a mom for the second time. After giving birth in 1991 to her daughter Scout, Moore said she would bike 30 miles to the set of Indecent Proposal from Malibu and 30 miles home. I guess any excuse to get away from a crying baby. The actress admitted she felt pressure to drop weight, but also that at the time it was important to her to get back in shape as well, and there was no way she was giving up the lunch buffet at Golden Corral. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny and seasonal today with high temperatures nearing 70 degrees. Another clear and crisp night on tap. And with patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning, it'll still be sunny and a warmer day with highs in the mid-70s. And we climb even warmer to close the rest of the week out. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now it's 62 degrees.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert, the
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to fake.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking. What's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Bill Carroll, President, Teamsters Joint Council 39, and Ben Wickler, Chair of Wisconsin Democratic Party. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Life is a ball game.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:51, we end the show every day with the segment, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. If you ever have a thing that should not be a thing, send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing has to do with our friend Jabba the Musk. It's pretty interesting. Oh, there he is, by the way. If you haven't seen it,
we need intro music.
We do. If you're watching on the live stream, you can see the new Matt Nair on Air mascot, courtesy of Scott from Shorewood. He and his friend made a compilation of Jabba the Hutt and Elon Musk with Elon's Musk head on it. And after massive voting that was not rigged,
no,
all the votes were completely legitimate and they were double checked and with checks and balances. Jabba the Musk is the name for the mascot.
I mean, there were a lot of ballots in the 2020 election. He won by like 10 million votes, I think it was, Joe Biden did.
Uh-huh.
Jabba the Musk won by 10 million and one votes. It was close.
It was close.
It was also just heartwarming to see democracy in action.
Absolutely. Don't forget, you have until noon to text the word via your civic media app, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Radio is the word this hour as we go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest. You could win this hour either $100 in cash, possibly gold jewelry. Everyone will be in the running for a pair of indoor club level tickets to watch the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Text the word radio, R-A-D-I-O. You have until noon. Todd Alba will have the next word in the 1 o'clock hour, and then Dom Salvia from four. He's on from four to six. He'll have the word in the 4 o'clock hour. I stumbled on this morning when we were doing prep, Greg and I, before we got on the air this morning. There's an article from Claire Reed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and here's the headline that just made Greg go, what? The Pickler is planning several large indoor pickleball clubs for the Milwaukee and Madison areas. Pickleball is really, really popular. And now, Greg, it appears they're going to corporatize pickleball.
Wait, it's the Pickler.
The Pickler.
Pickler.
The Pickler franchise.
So, you know, folks, how when you see an app on your phone and it's like, you know, they don't have that last E on there and they just put an R to make it look cool.
Yeah.
That's what this place is. The Pickler.
It's P-I-C-K-L-R.
Yeah.
The Pickler franchise.
Yeah. Boy, so exciting.
They're going to bring at least 8 The Pickler locations to Wisconsin, including Milwaukee, Madison, and Northeast Wisconsin. No leases have been signed yet in the Milwaukee area. The Pickler corporate offices, Greg, along with local real estate teams, are providing support to help identify the best locations for the Pickler facilities to fill the need for the huge demand for pickleball.
Would you say the real estate for this company, they want the best deal possible?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Pun! Okay, so I want to say something really quick.
Go right ahead.
I do not dislike, hate, or admonish pickleball, the entity, the sport, the thing. It gets people out,
yep,
athletic,
yep,
getting the good cardio, making friends, connecting with people. Like, I am all about the pickleball as a community activity.
Sure.
But this here just drives me pickles.
What is it about this in particular that is making you cray-cray?
If it was, okay, so here's the thing is, if it was just like a mom and pop thing, like we have this empty warehouse, we're going to build some pickleball courts indoors, you can play year round, we'll have fun, we'll do tournaments. That's one thing. But this all has the sheen of corporatism that really bothers me. Like, the people in charge of this probably don't care about pickleball, and they're going to talk to you about their vision and their synergy about how they bring pickleball to the people to give them an experience that's unmatched
in pickleballing.
Yes. And it makes it seem so unfun to me. I know I shop at places that are corporations. I have Amazon on my phone. I'm a walking contradiction and nothing but 6'2" of hypocrisy. But this right here is just hits me in all the bad places. I don't
Well, you knew someone, again, it has grown so much in popularity in just the last 5 years.
Yes.
You knew somebody was going to jump in and say, I can make money off this.
I think if it was just even called, like, I don't know, just pickle balls or something.
Pickle ink?
Pickle. No, no, no.
Why?
It's just the pickler without, it's the without the E that really, because it's like any, remember when Motley Crue, it'll make this connect, I promise you.
Okay.
Remember when Motley Crue came out and they were the coolest hard rock band around?
Yes.
And then you're like, yeah, there can't be any better. And they're like, well, here's Poison. You're like, oh, okay. They're not as the bad boy, but they're still rocking. And then they're like, here's the band Trickster. And you're like, oh, it just goes down and down and down till we have a corporation and like, we're going to get the people with pickler. Stay with me. This is amazing. We're going to take out the E and we're going to add the fun. I just can't handle this.
You know, there were many meetings on what to call it.
Oh, there should have been one more meeting to shut it down.
I'm sure there were many, many brainstorming sessions. What do we want to call it? Pickler with no E. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Calvin?
Well, shout out my high school Phi Ed teacher. We played racket sports a lot in gym class. We played badminton. We played racquetball, and we played pickleball.
You did?
Yeah, and this was almost 8 years ago at this point. So it was weird when pickleball started to like take off. I'm like, that silly game we played in gym class?
But I love that. I love that, Calvin. It's not a silly game. It's got a silly name. Because at no point do I know anyone who plays who eat pickles during it. Like there's no connection.
There's no pickle relation.
Exactly. So kids playing in a gym class, older people playing it. I know some people who get a little maybe too competitive about it, but that's fine. They're having fun.
There's like I always said, those people.
Like I said, connection and community are key. But this just right here is like, someone walked in a three-piece suit with their hair slicked back going, I got something. And you had a cigar sticking out of their mouth. I got something for you. Who wants to come to the pickler? You know? And I'm sure if they're listening now, they're not. If they're listening now, they're like, hey, why are you being so mean? I'm not being mean to you. Get your money. Start your businesses. It just feels ugh.
So corporate.
Yes!
It's just so corporatized.
Yes!
Michael from Wauwatosa, listening on WMDX in Madison. The pickler sounds like a Batman villain.
Yes!
Yeah, he's like in a green suit.
And the Riddler's like, hey, that's my deal.
Matt from Germantown, listening here on WAUK. Greg, stop crying.
I'm not crying.
We may just call this segment Small Things That Set Greg Off.
There are a lot of them. Oh boy. Coconut. Let's talk. No, I'm just kidding. Point is, like, look, I want people to play the sport. I want to play the sport. Actually, I would love to. I will never play tennis. I'll be terrible at it, but pickleball could be fun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are a lot of, and as you said, for older people my age, from what I understand, it's not quite as taxing on your joints and stuff like that. Although a lot of people have gotten injured playing pickleball.
Yeah, because they get a little too into it.
Andrew in Maine on the live stream has some suggestions. Pickle juiced.
Sounds like something you sell
the pickle juice
at
league.
The bar inside the pickler.
There's our moneymaker, Greg, right there. We'll make a vodka called pickle juiced.
Great. We'll take the E out the end. So it's pickle juice. Duh.
Ugh. Also, Bread and Butter LLC, would that be better?
Well, first of all, bread and butter pickles are an abomination, so I can't even handle this. It's either dill pickle or nothing, or garlic pickler, but bread and butter pickles are terrible. They're a joke.
Then I don't want to argue with you about sweet gherkins.
That's the same thing, isn't it?
As bread and... No, there's a difference.
What's the difference? I'm interested now.
I think that the sweet gherkins are sweeter than the bread and butter.
Oh, so you're saying they're worse.
Now, I like sweet pickles.
Oh, more for you then.
This is just morphing into a strange conversation.
It's fine. It's fine.
Pickle choices. We're talking about pickleball. In an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a corporation called the Pickler Franchise is going to be coming to southeastern Wisconsin. They will have indoor climate-controlled outdoor surfaced courts. Membership model allows members unlimited play, leagues, tournaments, monthly clinics, and nationwide play across Pickler locations. They'll have programs for youth and adults with the goal of becoming professionals.
Oh, boy. No.
in the sport.
There it is. So, okay. First of all, like, this sounds like Planet Fitness, but for pickleball. Like, you have a fee, you have to pay, which is fine. But, like, you can also go to a court right now and play.
Right.
But this, if they're trying to sell a dream that you will become
a professional
pickleball player, which, okay, that's where I kind of have a, like right now, like, I don't care. The Pickler opens up. I don't like the name. That's the whole conceit of this whole thing, is I don't like the name, but it's that. It's the idea that they might be trying to sell this dream to people and sell them on lessons and promises.
Oh, absolutely.
And teams. And
but again, you knew when pickleball started taking off, somebody was going to eyeball it and go, ooh, there's a way that we can jump in this and make money. The Pickler was founded in 2021. It is based in Utah with over 350 locations across the U.S. and they plan to go international. So is pickleball betting far behind?
Oh, I'm sure it already happens. Oh, I'm sure it go. Well, don't go. Don't put this in your Google search. I was like, go on any one of those gambling websites. I'm sure you can bet on pickleball
already.
You can bet on anything. You can bet on who's going to win the election. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a pickleball fantasy team.
You do?
Oh, just it's like Calvin threw the wiffle ball up and you just swatted with your little paddle and missed.
Oh, I see it now. I have in my head Calvin's pickleball team. It's like Marge from, you know,
yeah,
from Whitefish Bay, and Betty from Rhinelander.
Oh, Betty from Rhinelander.
Betty from Rhinelander.
Where did she come from?
She's from Rhinelander.
She's everywhere.
They are opening their first Wisconsin, the Pickler location in Green Bay this winter. It'll open at Green Bay's Shops at the Village. The franchise group also includes Mark Tauscher.
Who's that?
Former Green Bay Packer player.
Mark Tauscher?
You don't know who Mark Tauscher is?
No idea.
Well, you're not a football guy.
No, but I usually know the names of all of them just because...
Tausch.
You kind of have to.
Tausch. New facility will be 20,000 square feet, 7 indoor courts, high-quality outdoor-style surfacing, a full pro shop, and private event space. Calvin, as a former pickleballer yourself, what
retired.
Is it,
he's retired.
What's in a pickleball pro shop?
I have no idea. I'd imagine they sell paddles and balls, maybe apparel.
Do you have to wear out? Is there a special pickleballing outfit?
Oh, I'm sure there is, and it ain't cheap.
I honestly have no idea. We played in gym class, so...
You had gym uniforms.
We had gym uniforms.
I'm sure...
We just brought our own t-shirts and shorts.
I'm sure wherever, whatever it is in the pro shop, you have to play plenty of games of skee ball to get all the tickets you need to buy these prizes. I'm sorry, goods and wares inside the pro shop.
I think pickleball attire might be our moneymaker.
Okay, you start with vodka. Now you're moving on to clothing.
We're going to be a broad-based pickle company.
You're like a mogul who didn't start. What is going on here?
If you play pickleball, we would love to hear from you how you feel about this.
Jane would love to hear from you.
And what do you wear? Is there a uniform to play pickleball?
I will say absolutely, because I once looked at a catalog dedicated to the world of curling, and they sold pants that cost $200.
What was magical about them?
I think they didn't the ice wouldn't affect them, as if you were going down your knee to throw the rock down.
Right.
And I think they were insulated, but still, just wear some long johns.
One more segment to go. This shouldn't be a thing is on the way. Stay with us. You were listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for The Todd Albaugh Show.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Going to wrap up our pickleball conversation. Big article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a pickleball franchise going to be expanding here in Wisconsin. The article by Claire Reed. We'll put it in the show notes. Gary from Sussex on the line. Good morning, Gary. Are you a pickleball player?
Yes. My son has a full pickleball court in his backyard. And so we go out there and play. I never played before, and I played my grandson. And he's only 8 years old, and he can kick the snot out of me. it is a fun sport. It's much easier when you have two-on-two, when you have two people on your side.
Sure.
Because you don't have to run as much.
Sure.
I do play tennis, and it is way easier than tennis. It's funny because the ball is very light, and the ball does weird things as you hit it. Like in tennis, it's more direct, and the ball goes real fast. So, yeah, it's a fun sport. I enjoy it. I think it's good for everybody.
Young kids. Do you have to wear a special outfit, Gary?
What I do is I wear my swimming suit and tennis shoes, and that's it. So when I'm done, I just jump in his in-ground pool.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
That sounds like a lovely Sunday.
We're all coming over for games of pickleball and a swim in the pool. Thank you so very much, Gary. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. We had some great texts as well. Lama from Madison listening on WMDX. I like the idea of having a few and playing pickleball. Scott from Madison, I'm going to open up a barbecue pickleball place and call it Piggly Pickler or the Pickled Pig.
I like the Pickled Pig.
Pickled Pig?
I like the Pickled Pig. That one, I was saying to Jane during the commercial break, I feel like you go Piggly with anything, you're going to get a letter, cease and desist from a lawyer. Too close to Wiggly.
Oh, yeah. You're probably right. Kirk from Eau Claire, pickleball could be the next beanbag turned cornhole league, which formed the ACL American Cornhole League and has been televised on ESPN.
There is a gentleman right by the studio here in downtown Waukesha, and this is me not making fun of him at all. I respect this hustle. At least two or three times a week when I'm leaving, he's outside of his house
practicing cornhole.
Really?
He's by himself. There's no must be in a league, and he's taking it seriously. And I'm like, I respect that.
I can respect that dedication.
Yeah.
All right. It is 11:54. It is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
This shouldn't be a thing. This time, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, a special edition dedicated to Jabba the Musk. What was the particular tweet you saw?
Tweeted by fan of the show, Patton Oswalt. I just made that up myself. It was a snippet of an article that said something. I'll briefify it a little bit. Basically, Jabba the Musk was invited to the Super Bowl as a guest of Rupert Murdoch. That's okay. A pretty big deal.
No kidding.
You know you're going to get good seats. There will definitely be food in that suite. But his eyes were not on the game. He wasn't even schmoozing with people.
Not watching the Super Bowl.
He had his eyes on his phone, specifically on Twitter, because he was upset that a tweet that President Joe Biden put out was getting more views and likes than a tweet that he put out. Now, Elon has more followers than Joe Biden. That made him even more upset.
So Joe Biden's tweet, and Joe Biden has fewer followers, he got more eyeballs on his than Elon, who has more followers, and he didn't like that.
Correct. It was 29 million views to Musk's 8.4 million views.
Okay.
And so this is what, so me, I'm at the Super Bowl with Margaret Murdoch. I'm wondering why. I don't really like the man, but still I'm there. I put my phone away. I watch the game. He doesn't. He leaves the Super Bowl, flies back to San Francisco, and meets with his team to talk about why this is happening.
Why aren't more people liking my tweets?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Why is this happening? I have more followers. Why aren't I getting more views? So this is what they did to appease their little dear leader, Jabba the Musk. They talked to the people in tech. They talked to the engineers, and they changed the algorithm to boost Musk's post, pushing them into users' feeds, whether they follow him or not.
Oh, geez.
An effort to make him feel better and have higher priority over any post. And the best thing about this is the last line of this screenshot that I saw. It says, a man allergic to criticism had bought himself the largest audience in the world and hoped for praise. No wonder he and Trump get along.
Boom.
That is just
sad.
That's pathetic.
That should not be a thing.
No.
That is today's edition of Galvin.
This shouldn't be a thing.
No, it really shouldn't. And I just want to share one more comment about pickleball from Alicia on the live stream. Jane is planning her pickleball empire with vodka and a tire.
It just sounds like you're going to get drunk.
Well, I have to have a plan for when I do finally retire. That's going to be my empire.
You're never retiring.
Always send in your This Shouldn't Be a Thing to Jane Says, JaneSays at civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Stay here. News is next, followed by Todd Alba. This is the wonderful and vast Civic Media Radio Network. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Milwaukee entertainment critic Matt Miller, and I welcome Deanna Donaldson, president of the Warrens Wisconsin Cranberry Festival, but you can just call her El Presidente.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey.
pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.